Thank you. We're going to start this morning with swearing in of three trustees, and accomplishing that for us today will be Judge Robin Stuckert, who is a double alum of NIU. She was appointed as an associate judge in 2001 and later a circuit court judge in 2003. She's also been elected to that position, all of that after having served in several area law firms and even trying some cases against me. So we're grateful to have her here this morning. And without further ado, I'll turn this over then to Robin.
Good morning, President Peters, members of the Board of Trustees, ladies and gentlemen. As a graduate of this great university, I am both honored and pleased to have been asked to administer the oath of office to the returning board members as well as the newest member of the Board of Trustees. The oath that each of you take this morning has great significance. It is not just a formality or a ritual that you undergo before you assume your duties. No, it is much more than that. And what is this oath that you are taking today? Generally, if we give our word that we are going to do something, we stake not only our name and our reputation behind that promise that we have made. And generally, isn't that enough? But under some circumstances, we require more. We require an oath because the consequences of the things being considered are substantial. For example, in court, when a witness is presenting testimony, we just don't say, "Are you going to tell the truth?" No, we require a swearing in and an affirmation or an oath that they will, in fact, tell the truth. And we require an affirmation or oath for the President of the United States, members of Congress, civic duties as well for those who are in civic organizations, religious bodies. All are required to take oaths. Now, I am assured that each of you as members of the Board of Trustees understand the enormous responsibilities, obligations, and hard work that you are called upon and will be required to do, and that you are anticipating the continuing or the new challenges that you will be facing as well. So the significance of the oath for you is just perhaps necessary so I can get started with the work that needs to be done. But I suggest to you that the oath of office is really for the people who are being served by the person promising the service. In other words, the oath is not so much for that witness I talked about, or the President of the United States, or judges, or members of Congress, or anyone else that takes an oath. Rather, it is for society, our constituents, the people we serve, the faculty, students, employees, and all of the many individuals who will be impacted by your service and decisions that you make. An oath gives assurance and public recognition that we will do our utmost to live up to our obligations. And if you come forward now so you can be placed under oath. Just get front so we can all stand together. Would you all please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Mark Strauss.
Do solemnly swear that I will faithfully serve.
That I will faithfully serve.
Support. Preserve. Protect. And defend the Constitution of the United States.
And defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the laws thereof. The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And laws thereof.
And the Constitution.
Bylaws.
And policies of Northern Illinois University. Finally, I acknowledge the fiduciary responsibility that each member of the Board of Trustees has. And further solemnly swear that I will discharge faithfully
my duties as member
as the Board of Trustees of Northern Illinois University. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Since I've done this once before, I'll be very brief. I want to let everybody know how excited I am to have another 6 years to see that some of the things that we've started, we have an opportunity to complete. It's been a real pleasure to work with all of you who are here for this period of time, and I'm looking forward to continuing that. Thank you again.
Since I'm the new kid on the block, I'll give a little tiny bit of a background. The first part of it is that in coming into this position, I also promised to forsake fishing for the board. I reconnected with the university about 6 years ago through an alumni event that was held in downtown Chicago to celebrate the holidays. At that event, there was a pulse of energy from staff members who were there and from the many alumni who came out. I decided to look a little deeper, and on a subsequent visit to NIU, I found that the campus went beyond Annie Glidden Road. Since I came from the dinosaur era when NIU happened to be Northern Illinois State College, it became a university during my sophomore year. I can only say that it's an honor, and I look forward to being able to serve. Thank you.
Robert, on behalf of the university, this is the official trustee pin. Well, I don't know if it carries any weight or significance other than it's a beautiful pin. Here you go. The magic decoder ring is coming.
Bob, I don't know. I looked at Wally, and he was shaking his head about this fishing thing and giving it up. I don't know. He thinks maybe you can do both. I'm not usually at a loss for words, but this morning is very emotional for me because it is a return for 6 more years. I love this university, and it has been an honor and a privilege to serve on its Board of Trustees. Thank you.
It's wonderful to have a new face around here as well as welcoming back the familiar faces. Am I on? Yes, I am, I guess. And to our new trustee, Trustee Marshall, welcome. It's a delight to have you here. And to our two trustees who have been re-elected and renewed, as we all know, re-election is a tricky business, just as the President of the United States. But you two did a great job, and delighted to have both of you back. Welcome back. Thank you.
Before we begin the meeting, do any other trustees wish to say anything of a general nature in regard to our new trustee and the swearing in of two returning trustees? Okay, well, let's begin, if we can, then, immediately, with the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting. Ms. Bank Wilkins, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Robert Boyd.
Here.
Trustee Anthony Iosco. Trustee Robert Marshall.
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Student Trustee Robert Sorsby.
Here.
Chair John Butler.
Here.
COT Chair Mark Strauss.
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Blake Moore, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Would you please verify that appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
That has been done.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved.
There's been a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the agenda has been approved. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of March 3rd, 2011?
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the minutes of the meeting of March 3rd, 2011 have been approved. On today's agenda, under University Report, we have four items that will be presented for action and two information items. Today's meeting is of particular importance for faculty. This is the time of year that the board acts on recommendations for faculty tenure and promotion. Action item 7A concerns the recommendations for faculty promotions, tenure, and promotions with tenure for the 2011-2012 academic year. Action item 7B concerns a reorganization in the College of Education. There are two programmatic issues on the agenda for today. Action item 7C is a request for a change in degree designation within the College of Education. Action item 7D is a request for a new minor in theater studies. An additional information item 7E will provide information regarding the request to increase the regional delivery fee for the off-campus RN degree completion program in the School of Nursing and Health Studies. Information item 7F is an update from the Higher Learning Commission. I would now like to welcome the representatives of the University Advisory Committee to this committee, Carrie Friedman and Farrell Bryan. Professor Friedman and Professor Bryan, do you have anything you would like to say at this time?
Thank you, and as always, I'm delighted to be here, and I do have one question to ask of the Dean of the College of Education during her presentation on the restructuring. Restructuring of these types, particularly when the dissolution of a department is involved, is always very stressful for faculty, staff, and students. So my question is, what actions are the Dean taking to minimize stress among the faculty, staff, and students, and to support them during the transition?
Thank you very much. I will see that that question is asked to the Dean at the point at which we take up that issue. We have an ambitious schedule and a number of items on each committee's agenda, so I will say only a few things for the information purposes for our new trustee who's here today. This is a committee charged with a dynamic mission to cover three very large areas of academic affairs, student affairs, and personnel. Most of our action items concern academic programming and some personnel matters, such as today's discussion of tenure and promotion. Our information items are crucial opportunities also for the board to learn more about the function of a particular office, the goal behind an effort, or achievements of a programming effort. And at any given time, there are hundreds of achievements we do not get to talk about. The Office of University Relations keeps us informed of many of these things through NIU Today and a variety of other releases and publications. I want to just quickly acknowledge and welcome the new trustees, of course, also Jerry Blakemore, who's with us today for his first board committee meeting. And I want to also welcome Professor Mary Pritchard, who's been appointed the interim dean of the College of Health and Human Sciences. Welcome and congratulations on the appointment. Mr. Blakemore, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustee bylaws?
No, they have not, sir.
At this point, I would like to ask Provost Ray Alden to present the university report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Agenda item 7A is an action item for promotion and tenure issues coming to the board. For the new board member, this time of year, we consider these kinds of issues. This process is a lengthy process. It involves both administrative and faculty-based committee reviews of each case, and that kind of review takes place at the department, the college, and the university level. So by the time the May and June meetings come along, these individuals. Their files have been well vetted by the university community. Today we bring forward one promotion from assistant to associate in the College of Law, 15 promotions from associate to full professor, three individuals coming forward for tenure only. These individuals already have a rank of associate, and 21 coming forward for both tenure and promotion from assistant to associate professor, and one tenure and rank of associate upon hire. So this is a fairly typical mix of the kinds of promotion and tenure issues that come before the board at this time. So I would like to make the following recommendation. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at the meeting on June 9, 2011.
Thank you. Can I ask for a motion?
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any discussion of this motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, I see that the motion has been approved. Congratulations to these faculty members.
Agenda item 7B involves the reorganization within the College of Education, and before I read the recommendations, I would like to invite Dean LaVon Neal, of the Dean of the College of Education, to come forward and describe the reorganization and the process.
It's a pleasure to join the Board of Trustees meeting today. I'm getting closer to my first year anniversary, which is actually July 1st, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the experience. And today I will be discussing the request for department name change, as well as the transfer of tenure locations. Now let me just begin with a familiar face and a familiar charge. And clearly it was a charge for transformation. And President Peters, I particularly enjoyed the thought-filled charge of public university model of the 20th century no longer fits. So as I reflected on that and I reflected on my charge from Provost Alden, this was a key phrase, the 20th century model in public universities no longer fits. I also began thinking about the 25-page leadership profile that the search committee compiled when they were looking for a new dean for the College of Education. One, I was quite impressed with 25 pages for a profile for a new dean. But I was also reflecting on the request that the new dean be a planner and a builder and will bring a model for moving the university forward. And more importantly, I reflected on the messaging. The quote was, complex and rapidly changing. But what really caught my eye was, this is not a status quo position. This really illuminated for me the forward thinking that NIU was taking, was focusing on, because this is salient. When you look at the other charges, recognizing that this is a complex as well as a rapidly changing region, as well as the need to work with both energy and sense of urgency. And for those of you who know me, clearly you understand the every morning I work out using my elliptical, and sense of urgency and energy definitely there. Now, when we look at the college landscape as well as higher education landscape, the charge was clear: a new model. But more importantly, when I looked at the higher education landscape, our learners were different. Our learners are more diverse than ever before in terms of ethnicity as well as learning styles. The increased competition, proprietaries are now focusing on professional schools, such as nursing and education. And our diminishing funds, as well as increased accountability, as well as demands for productivity and curricular renovation, and also accrediting agency requirements. And let me submit to you that I'm proud to say that effective this academic year, the college education, all 17 of our 17 programs received national recognition. So we're very proud of that. Also, when you look at the analysis that we conducted regarding the Department of Teaching and Learning, it was created in the 20th century. Remember the charge, let's look forward to the 21st century. And absolutely, when it was created, it was necessary to have the focus. And the foci are delineated there. Seven basic objectives with that redesign during the 20th century. And we were looking at increasing program focus to have a clearer mission, as well as to communicate more effectively, to improve services to our students, as well as align graduate programs and improve visibility, and national education disciplines to better align our departments. So absolutely, when this reorg occurred in 1999, it was necessary and it fulfilled the foci then. I draw your attention now to a situational analysis. When we look at the current market and the demand, clearly, cohesive and synergistic program alignment, greater relevance for students, these are the things that we need to do differently based on the needs analysis that we conducted at a national level as well as regional. The teaching environment that encourages curricular innovation and greater faculty innovation, and learning environment that reflects and even improves upon best practices. So these are the things that we knew we needed to also infuse. Now let's talk about the transformation process. One of the many things I do appreciate is the thoughtfulness of the COE faculty and staff when they were looking for new leadership. And one of the things that I was so proud of was this actual transformation process, this is the timeline here, was faculty initiated. The faculty initiated this in the fall of 2010 with conversations with me. And then I facilitated conversations with Senate. For those who are not familiar with the infrastructure, Senate is comprised of the department chairs as well as the program directors. And so I consulted with Senate also for guidance in the fall. And of course, guidance continues in an ongoing way. Departmental and unit meetings were conducted. I facilitated those meetings in December and in an ongoing manner. But more importantly, for the transformation of the departments that were impacted, for example, teaching and learning, I sat down and visited with every one of the faculty and staff in that department, and that was an important aspect. All college retreat, we discussed this again, as well as faculty proposals. So faculty proposed what they wanted to see in terms of where the changes would occur. And so after looking at those requests from faculty, we were then, in terms of proposals, we were then able to design the actual reorganization. So there you have the transformation process initiated by faculty. But I'm always mindful, of course, of the fatigue of change and the speed of change. But we also know that given the different landscape, our speed of change determines whether we will continue to be the viable entity that we want to be. And these are simply the five goals that are delineated in the College of Education strategic plan: students, diversity, engagement, and innovation, as well as culture. Now, when you consider how do we take all these charges into consideration, and how do we concurrently prepare for the future? The organizational transformation, by definition, is a process, and the changes are in form, structure, and culture in order to adapt to environmental changes. Now, in terms of what does that change need and what the determination of the change is, remember, based on conversations as well as proposals, this was the transformation process. Now, when you look at curriculum instruction, what these new changes will do is it will connect our graduate program and align it with other school leadership programs. Now, something to remember is this. Based on decades of research, the two indicators for students' outcomes to be successful in education, one is the quality of the teacher, and the other is the quality of that school principal. So when you look at what we're doing with curriculum and instruction, as identified through the faculty by their proposals, we are more aligning all school leadership together. And when you look at elementary education and what's happening with national trends and the need for literacy development, that is why the faculty recommended that the elementary education be transitioned over into the Department of Literacy. And then finally, one of my fields is special education. When you look at the national trends, more students now than ever have special needs. And where more than to begin making certain that they have the appropriate skill sets than in early education. So therefore, the alignment with special education as well as early education. Now, how do we get there? We developed the transformation blueprint based on all the things that we had discussed through the fall semester. And I draw your attention, and I'm sorry it's not as clear, but I draw your attention to the transformation outcomes. Faculty and staff and COE submit that we would like to do three things. We would like to be a data-driven decision-making entity. We would like to diversify our sources of revenue. And we would like to have sustainable systems-driven operation. And so those are the three foci that are a major part of the College of Education Transformation Blueprint. So what I'm concluding with now is this. The proposed name change and program distribution. I am requesting that the Department of Teaching and Learning be renamed Department of Special Education, Special and Early Education. And as you see there, those are the entities where the undergraduate programs would be housed in literacy education as well as special and early education, and the graduate programs will be housed in those three departments. So in essence, three departments are impacted by this reorganization. Simply stated, requested transfer of tenure and tenure locations of faculty. 21 faculty are impacted, 14 in the SEED department, and these 14 are currently InterLearn. And then three of the faculty InterLearn over to our leadership department, and then four faculty from InterLearn to our literacy department. It is important to note that this reorganization was achieved with minimal impact in that no faculty, staff program, degree program, or courses have been eliminated. Are there always going to be logistical challenges that may not meet the timeline of every person? Absolutely. But clearly, we do our best, given constraints on facilities moves, office moves, to make certain that we mitigate any stress, but we are not able to accommodate the desires of every person based on the timeline that they prefer. We do have to work within operational timelines. And clearly, office moves, for example, because we know during the summer, facilities should focus on the residence halls to make certain that they are ready for the next experience. So we knew that we would either have to move now or move in the fall. And the moves are completed now, but again, logistically, not everyone will be pleased. Current students will continue to, in their programs as usual, Future students will be admitted as previously admitted, and service courses for programs outside of the college will continue unchanged. When you think about the demands of leadership, it is our duty, to quote one of our leaders, it is our duty for the sake of generations to come to adapt, to innovate, and to motivate. I thank you.
Trustees, are there any questions or comments? Trustee Muir.
I do have a comment. Thank you very much for the presentation. It struck me that the College of Education is one of the pillars of Northern Illinois College, Northern Illinois University.
Yes.
And so I think it's very reflective of the aggressive mode and culture that we are taking under Dr. Peters' leadership and Provost Alden, that it is the College of Education that has picked up the gauntlet in making such changes. So I commend you for that. But I think it is very important that we recognize we took the college, or we're seeing the college that is really at the basic core of this university, and we're saying, but that too must change.
Yes.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Comments and questions by board members?
I wonder if I could just concentrate on, I mean, I don't have any doubt that this has been thoughtfully and methodically approached. But my question stems with what sorts of implications or transitional kinds of things do you anticipate with respect to transferring the tenure home of these faculty members? Have they expressed any anxieties about this?
Well, as I had mentioned earlier, the proposals were submitted by the faculty to me. And so we went with the recommendations of where they would like to be.
How many tenure track faculty are moving to new departments?
The total is, in terms of the total move, 21 are impacted.
Well, they're tenure track professors?
Yes.
21 tenure track professors are impacted.
The to learn will hold 14 of the existing will stay. Those who will transition will be 7.
Okay. And are you satisfied you were able to respond to the question in your answers?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or concerns by the board? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I have a motion?
I
guess we need to recommend first.
There are two action items. The first is for the request for a department name change, and the second is for the transfer of tenure home for these faculty members. So I'll read these in sequence. First, the recommendation, the university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its June 9th, 2011 meeting.
Okay, there's a motion. There's a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor? Any opposition? Seeing none, that motion has passed.
Action.
I'd like the new acronym, C.
Thank you.
That's
finding so many
ones. I figure, yes. That's what you had in mind. Thank you.
Action item number 2. The recommendation is the university requests that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse the university's request to transfer the tenure and tenure track location of these faculty that have been listed in your book and forward them by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its June 9th, 2011 meeting.
Thank you. Is there a motion? There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion has passed.
Agenda item 7C is for a request in a degree designation. This request has received all the required curricular approvals at the department, college, and university level, as well as endorsement by the Academic Planning Council. It will be forwarded to the Illinois Board of Higher Education for their approval, assuming the board approves this particular degree change designation. The change is from a EDD to a PhD in educational psychology. This particular designation comes from the Department of Leadership, Educational Psychology, and Foundations in the College of Education. And it is a nationwide trend that doctorate degrees in educational psychology tend to be at the PhD level because so much of the discovery is research-based rather than practice-based, which is usually the distinction between the EDD and the PhD. In the United States, about 93% of all universities have the PhD for educational psychology rather than the EDD. And in the state of Illinois, NIU is the only institution that has a doctoral program that offers the EDD rather than the PhD. And so this is perceived to place our NIU graduates at somewhat of a competitive disadvantage. With the PhD, they can either go into a research-based career or a practice-based career, whereas the EDD may not be viewed as a research-based career as competitive as maybe a PhD would. So this particular degree has been in the planning for a number of years. There's been quite a bit of transition in terms of curriculum, in terms of external funding, in terms of review. We had an external team of individuals coming from among the top ed psych programs in the country, reviewed the program. They confirmed that it was indeed ready to make the transition. And so this particular program will be, assuming you approve and the IBHE approves, the EDD will be phased out, but all students enrolled in the program at the time of final approval will be given the option to continue the EDD or to switch over to a PhD to complete the research internship process. So no new resources are needed. The program is well positioned to undertake this degree, and so I'd like to propose the recommendation. The university recommends the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its June 9th meeting. And again, Dean LeVon Neal is here in case the board has any questions.
Let's begin with a motion to approve. There's a motion and a second. And now, board members, do you have any questions? Yes. Trustee Muir.
I do. I'd like to begin by saying I'm always appreciative of the sensitivity that we have in regards to a particular degree and its relevance in future development for our students. When you're switching, though, from especially for those that are in the program and you say that they will have an option, and will that happen not this year, not this curriculum?
Obviously, we can't predict how long it'll take the IBHE to approve this change. Oftentimes, these sorts of changes are fast-tracked, but the IBHE has a huge pipeline of programs that are waiting approval. So unless we can get a fast track, this may take some time. We hope that it will be approved fairly soon.
Would that be May of 2012, graduates in May of 2012?
We would hope reasonable? So, but I honestly can't predict what IBHE would do, but we would like to make sure that it is in time so that those individuals that desire the degree have the option to do that.
And another question, Provost. If an individual desires to have a PhD instead of the what is it, the EDD. And that final approval has gone through our Board of Trustees, but the final approval from the IBHE does not come by, let's say, May of 2012. Is there any retrospective opportunity for individuals in switching to that degree or not?
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask whether that particular issue was discussed by the college.
Yes, that conversation is ongoing, and we are in the process of developing avenues of approach for students to indeed transition with PhDs, depending upon the timeline. It's all contingent upon when IBHE makes the decision, but we are discussing how to best approach it should students desire to have that PhD who are currently in our pipeline.
What I'd like to ask, Provost, is I'd like to know the answer to that. And I'm talking about someone who actually has graduated, let's say, in May of 2012, and that approval would come in the summer. Is there any grandfathering? And the president shaking his head, you don't believe so?
No, because you'd have to do a different kind of dissertation.
Now, that leads me to my last question, which was, especially those who are in this transitional period, what differentials do we have, especially since you're speaking of the fact that one is more research-based, one is more evidence-based? So if we're talking about students now in the pipeline and they're ready to graduate in whatever, May of this year, May of next year, what other courses do they need to take? What other, especially if they're in the midst of dissertation?
Yes, because of the forethought of the faculty, they had already looked at the national trends and 5 years ago began preparing for this very move. And so the programming, when the evaluators looked at our programming, they deduced that our programming definitely is PhD programming. And so that's why we know with confidence that we would be able to transition. Now, in terms of, so we have been preparing them all the while so that even if they did not have the PhD, they had the skill sets as an EDD to compete with their peers.
Okay, my last question, I don't want to belabor the point, and perhaps, Provost, we could have an offline discussion, but I think I'm not hearing the same consistency of what I'm hearing. Because what I'm hearing is that it's at the pleasure of the student to make the choice, that it's a change in the degree, and yet we talk about what's the nature of a dissertation, and there's the difference between coursework and the dissertation. So are we speaking of the fact that it's the choice up to the point of declaring the dissertation and forming your committee, so then it really wouldn't be imminent, regardless of when the IBHE made that decision?
I believe that's the case, that if a student has already chosen the EDD final practice-based project and is well along that route, I'm not sure how easy it would be to do the dissertation, which is really the difference, is original research-based dissertation versus a practice-based applied research-type project. So I'm not sure that the option would be obvious or possible without extra work for a student to take on a dissertation research project. So I don't know if there's any way to retrofit after the fact, short of having someone do a dissertation project, but I will ask the dean whether she has any insights on that.
Again, this is part of the conversation that the faculty have had on an ongoing basis. It's clearly contingent upon where they are in their coursework.
Mr. Chairman, however, I think as it was presented in our board packet, it's not as clear as what this discussion has led it to be. And it appeared in the language that it was really you can switch and whenever. But I think there's a lot more substance involved. I certainly don't want to be a person who's going to hold up the process, because my initial comments were I think it's a great thing, and I do think it's important. But I'm feeling a bit anxious about how clearly we've identified this process, for whom, by what means, within what time frame. And so I'm not sure where we should go with that, Mr. Chair.
And I think the complicated issue is with respect to the IBHE. And I think what Trustee Muir is asking is what options are practically available to students who are in this program right now, the EDD, who may either prior to the completion of it or even after avail themselves of the opportunity to receive a PhD instead of an EdD. And I think that that's a big question, and a question that we can maybe try to answer in a form of an update on the yes. on the transformation of this program at some subsequent meeting of this committee. Is that possible? And in the process of that, I too have a line of questions which goes to the same issue we were talking about in the prior action item, which is, is this department, have there been discussions about the impact that this is going to have on tenure and promotion of faculty members in this department as they move from an EdD offering program to a PhD offering program? Do you anticipate any issues there?
We do not anticipate issues at that point, no.
And in terms of teaching loads and the kinds of things that are consistent with PhD programs, have we flushed that out, or are there any changes that are going to take effect with respect to teaching loads?
As with any programmatic changes, of course, operationally, those have to be reviewed by the department chairs to level loads. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, that has been thoroughly discussed.
Mr. Chair, the fact is, if we're talking about a PhD, which is research-based, and an EdD, which is application-based, are there not different skill sets of faculty related to those two areas of specialization? And if so, I would think that's a rhetorical question. I would imagine it's so. Where are we in terms of those individuals, the faculty, as it relates to their research orientation versus their application orientation?
Trustee Muir, part of the external review was to look at whether the scholarship and the external funding in particular of the faculty was appropriate for a PhD level program. So it wasn't just a curricular issue or whether the appropriate research-based dissertation was possible, but what the faculty's qualifications are. Quite frankly, the 5 or 6 years that this program has been in the works, faculty realized that it required them to all be graduate faculty with that sort of a scholarly background. So I don't believe it'll be that big a surprise or disadvantage any of the faculty.
I would concur to that.
Let me ask this question. What percent of our tenure track faculty in this department have the PhD training in this area?
I do not have the complete data.
EdD versus PhD, and I got an answer to this yesterday. I think Virginia has it.
All of the faculty assigned to this program have the PhD except one who has an EdD from Harvard.
Yeah, pretty good.
And Virginia, and I also asked Virginia a question, and I know Ray has this. What is the enrollment data here on this program? How many do we have in the program? How many PhDs or EdDs do we grant? And then I guess my third question would be, will this change the recruitment focus of the kind of students who seek this program, practitioner versus pure research?
I can answer the first two. Easily. Over the past 5 years, the average number of students enrolled in the program has been 24. And so they've had consistent enrollments. And annually, they graduate 3 to 4 degrees, which is fairly typical for a department of this size at the doctoral level.
Trustee Muir.
I have a procedural question. What impact might it have if we table this request till the next board meeting until we get more information? And would that inhibit the process in terms of discussion with the IBHE? Because I certainly don't want to do that, but at this point I'm very uncomfortable. I think there are a lot of questions that haven't been answered on this particular request.
Trustee Muir, we cannot send the proposal forward to the IBHE, so depending on how long it takes, obviously the next meeting is in the fall, so there will be that lag before it's submitted to the IBHE.
Could we do it conditionally, that conceptually? These are questions I have.
From a procedural standpoint, can we approve it now to send it to the board, but then take up the debate in a more rigorous fashion at the board meeting? And by then, perhaps we can facilitate the answers to your questions and mine in a more systematic way within the 3 or so weeks between now and the meeting. And if we're not comfortable with it at the meeting, we could table it at the meeting.
Okay.
Because it would be the same amount of time that we'd be holding it anyway.
I would suggest that the questions that have been raised of the background material, excerpts from the external report, the performance data on who the students are, these questions that Trustee Muir has asked be incorporated going forward to the board meeting, full board meeting in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And at that point, your questions may be answered, and if not, then we can table or postpone mm-hmm. to a future date. It's always good to get in the IBHE queue. Quite frankly, I don't see any issues at the IBHE except timing, because we meet the qualifications and we've done the external review. They don't do that. I think the other thing I'm getting, and I'm not an expert on what's happened here, but I get a feeling that they've been moving toward this for several years. And so the curriculum is in place, the kind of professors are in place, recruitment patterns have probably been changed, and my guess is even the EDD practicum dissertation type thesis that they're writing is a bit more research focused than it would be practicum oriented, just because of the kind of professors who are directing these things. So that would be my suggestion. Let's beef up the supporting materials.
Well, I think what we've seen this morning is that and again, this is one of our pillars, so it does take it should take some consideration, and this is an important degree. I believe that a lot of work has been done, and I believe we're probably in a good position, but we should also be in a position to be able to answer these questions pretty readily, and we don't seem to be able to do that. So what I think I'm hearing the suggestion, and I could support that, is that we are approving this to be brought to the board, mm-hmm. and that would give 3 weeks for you and the provost to be able to respond to some of these questions, which I'm sure you'll be able to do. And then I would feel certainly more comfortable at the board meeting approving this than I would right now.
Approval with the proviso that these questions be answered.
Yes.
Trustee Bowie.
A point of clarification, Dean. This program has been in the works now for 5-6 years.
Yes.
So the students who are in the EDD program knows that the changes are here, are ongoing. In their own mind, they know that, and they have made up their own decision whether they want to be in the EDD or going to go to the PhD. Have they not? Given the background that they, of this change throughout the 5-6 years.
Again, the students recognize that they do not determine, because we do not have a choice, that the degree that they will be receiving until things change is the EDD.
Right. But they also, through their courses, they also know that there is an option coming up for the PhD.
They do know that we are submitting proposals, yes, they do know that. But they also know that it is a process, and that the timing is not controlled by NIU.
I can see the problem is in the last year, for example, and here we are talking about IBHE approval. But any classes after that, that should be pretty clear, right? I mean, if you're in the last year of graduation, you have a problem in timing, correct?
Again,
because you don't know the options or whether it's available or not.
That is correct.
But anybody after the last year, I don't think that should be a problem, should it?
And again, it will be, it depends on where they are at the point of their programming.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
May I ask a question of Trustee Muir?
Sure.
From what I understand, the crux of your question is this issue about the students given an option. It's really an option, as I understand it, contingent on whether they're willing to do the research that will lead to a dissertation instead of a project as they are doing now. And that may delay some of the individuals, or they may select the EDD, and we probably need to clarify that more. Is that what your question is?
You know, I think it initially was, but I think what this discussion has led is I don't think we're crisp enough, and so it really opened a Pandora's box. So it, my question initiated in that way, based on your comments, Provost, on choice, but I think as the discussion ensued, I am not finding enough crispness in our responses to this. And I think that different than a student who is in a full academic program, even a Juris Doctorate, where it's course-related that can take you up to a graduation point with core courses, this is a big deal because we're talking about dissertation. Dissertation takes a long time. And a dissertation is something you have to form your committee, you have to identify original thought, and it takes a long period of time. So it's not something that's going to come quickly, and I think my only concern this morning is I don't find the responses as crisp as I would like them to be, but I think that the knowledge is probably there, and I think Chairman Butler's recommendation to approve this to go to the board, and that'll be a 3-week period, and we can hear about it at the board meeting, and then we can, as a board, make a decision.
I have one other question I think that should be addressed, and that is why phase out the EDD as an option unless the practitioner degree has no value in the marketplace. I don't know that. I think we need to know that.
And I can do some work in the next week or so, making sure that some of these questions are inventoried. And so that we can provide these questions. So I think then we should move forward with the motion, which is to approve bringing this to the full board meeting with the understanding that we all have at this point that we've got a lot of questions that we're going to try to answer in the next 3 weeks so that the trustees are comfortable with this recommendation. So can I ask then for all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, this motion is approved.
Agenda item 7D is for a request for a new minor for the new board member. A minor is a subdivision of an existing program that's available to students in other majors, and it is identified on their transcripts. This is to be distinguished from an emphasis, which is a concentration within a degree at the undergraduate level, or a specialization that is a concentration within a graduate degree. So this is available to individuals who are not in this case, in theater. And this particular program has been vetted at all levels, from the department to the college to the university, including the Undergraduate Coordinating Council, and it will offer a minor in theater studies to individuals who are not majors in that area, and they will gain a comprehensive introduction to dramatic literature, history, performance, and theater technology. And this allows individuals in a number of different fields, including education, law, marketing, communication studies, music, dance, and health sciences, to gain these kinds of skills, competencies, and a knowledge base. So this will not involve new resources because the courses are already being offered in the school. And so the recommendation is that the university recommends that Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse the request and ask the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at the June 9th, 2011 meeting. And I see that Dean Rich Holly is here, so if the board has any questions, he certainly could fill in the details.
Can we begin with a motion?
So moved.
There's been a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Any discussion on the board's part? All I will say is congratulations on putting this together. I think very, very much it's true that this is something that will appeal to a number of students in a number of areas, particularly the ones mentioned in the action item. I'm a little bit surprised we haven't had this before. Was there some other type of minor?
Actually, we did have this in the past, and we eliminated it a ballpark 8-10 years ago due to major enrollment and a change in faculty. In the intervening years, we've had a large number of students ask about having a minor. In particular, we have a number of education students from all of the colleges that offer education programs take one course that's available called Acting for the Non-Major, and they gain so much experience and skills through that experience, they've asked, is there more I can do? And the answer has been no. And so through discussions with the faculty, it became clear that, yes, we can accommodate mm-hmm. minors, and we should. So that's why it's coming back.
Great. Thank you. Trustees, are we ready to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, this has passed.
Agenda item 7E is a request for a change in a fee, for a delivery fee for an off-campus program. As everyone is aware, nursing is a high-demand, high-impact discipline. It's probably one of the fastest-growing fields in the country as well as in the region. And as a result, our nursing school is quite stressed to accommodate the students on campus. We have accreditation issues. That means that certain courses can't have a student-to-faculty ratio of greater than 8, I believe. And so we want to continue and to expand our service to individuals who have an RN degree at the associate's level, who are often working professionals who want to acquire a baccalaureate level nursing degree. And so this particular program is aimed at that particular group of individuals who, because of their circumstances, cannot come to campus, but can either meet at a regional site or conduct their degree largely online. Usually it's a combination of those two options. Up till now, we've had to go through cohorts, essentially having this particular option offered in one region, then another region, then another region, simply because of limitations. We just simply did not have enough faculty to prevent it from impacting to our on-campus group of students. And so this is the result of about a year planning of how do we build capacity so that we don't jeopardize our on-campus programs, but build capacity for both on-campus and degree completion programs. And part of that financial model involves increasing the credit hour fee. Nonetheless, from what I understand, this program will still be very cost competitive with other programs offered to provide this particular degree completion option. This will come forward for an action item in the FF&O committee next, but because it involves an academic program, we present it for information here. And I see that Chair Bridget Lusk, the Chair of School of Nursing, is here in case the board members have any questions at this point in time. And obviously, the action item comes next.
Trustee Muir.
I do have a question. And to whom should I be posing this? It's what I want to know is what are we doing, if anything, related to nurse practitioner certification?
We have a huge nurse practitioner program. We have almost 200 students enrolled in it. We are working towards getting the postmaster's doctorate in DNP, but right now we have a master's degree in family and adult nurse practitioners.
And would this be provided off campus as well?
This is pretty much 50% online and 50% on campus. We do have requests to provide it off campus, and it's a situation of resources.
It would seem to me that, in particular, nurse practitioner would be very suitable for off campus because these are individuals that are usually working anyway. Mm-hmm. Would you not say?
Mm-hmm. Yes, our online courses are very popular. A concern with off campus is where do we cite it? You know, to be helpful to everybody, we draw from a large region.
Good. Well, I'd like to hear more about the exploration on that and nurse practitioner, because I think that as we look at healthcare reform, that's probably one of the primary professional
sure.
positions that we will become dependent upon in the next decade.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Are there any other questions by the trustees? Any other statements by the trustees on this information item? Okay.
Agenda item 7F is a report, a final report from the Higher Learning Commission related to the off-campus site visit that occurred this past year. The board has heard before and immediately after the site visit that this particular issue is a new requirement by the Higher Learning Commission. So I'd like to call upon Vice Provost Cassidy to report on the findings of the commission as a result of this report.
Well, I believe, Provost Alden, that you can see from the report that the findings were very good. The external evaluator had two options to respond to for each area, that the requirements were adequately met or required additional attention. And so there were no opportunities for superlatives in the actual report to the Higher Learning Commission, but his comment, I believe, which is the last sentence in the report, indicated very clearly what he had told us at the time of his visit, and that NIU should be a model for how we deliver our off-campus programs. So all of the criteria are met in terms of this aspect of our requirement to the Higher Learning Commission. We won't have another visit of this nature for 10 years, which will be mid-cycle for our overall accreditation. So very good outcome overall.
Thank you. Trustees, any questions for the Vice Provost or Provost on this matter? Seeing none, thank you for the information item.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to also acknowledge not only Vice Provost Cassidy's effort on this, but Vice President Kaplan's tremendous support and of these programs, which is key to our mission in the area, as well as all of the academic individuals. We had a major group meet with this off-campus site visitor, and I think he was extremely impressed that this was integrated into our academic community, as well as how nice and how well run the educational sites were. So that, Mr. Chair, that concludes the university report.
Thank you, Provost Alden. At this point, I'd like to ask if there are other matters to come before the committee. Seeing none, the next meeting date for the committee will be August 25th, 2011. I just want to say very quickly thank you to the Chair of Nursing, the Deans of the College of Education and Visual and Performing Arts, and Vice Provost Cassidy for providing information to the committee. Also, thank you to the Faculty Advisory Committee representatives for having questions for the committee as well, and to General Counsel Blake Moore, Provost Alden, and President Peters for being with us today. So at this point, may I have a motion to adjourn? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, this meeting's adjourned.